everybody, and welcome to Writing Easy, the podcast that takes on the onerous task of writing and makes it a little nicer. I am one of your hosts, Mary Mascari.
And I'm your other host, Melissa Long.
Melissa, how's the writing going?
Writing is good. Writing is easy.
Yay.
Yay. It's busy. It's a busy time of year for writing. Yeah. Lots of stuff going on.
We've got, is it pilot season? No.
It's fellowship season. So All of the fellowships for the major studios are due in May. And so like everybody's frantically trying to get their stuff done.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah. So it's a busy time in LA.
Nice. Things are very quiet here, but yeah, spring break. I did no writing over spring break. We took a vacation and I brought my computer and I wrote for about 3 minutes. The setup wasn't right. I couldn't do it. But I read a ton. So I think that still counts.
That counts. It's inspiration. You need to be inspired.
Absolutely. You gotta fill it up. And honestly, I did notice that because I had kind of been on a dry spell. I wasn't reading very much. I was just sort of, you know, looking at stuff or listening to podcasts, or I've been reading the Peanuts, which are wonderful, but not text as much. And then I was reading a book, like a book. And I found when I went to go write, the words flowed a little easier because my brain was sort of primed with it. Now, I did sound like that author and had to go back and change it a little bit, but that's, you can always fix things.
Yeah.
So today we are going to talk about my writing problem, which is how to come up with justifications for character actions. And you already know what the action is going to be. Kind of reverse engineering stuff, which is always tricky for me. But first, Melissa, you have a quote for the week, which I like very much.
I do have a quote, and it's from Annie Dillard, who I can't remember the name of the book that I pulled it from, but she has a lot of writing advice, writing life books available. And this one stuck out to me because I feel like we often want to hoard our ideas and hoard concepts. Okay. We're like, oh, this is going to be in the very last scene, or oh, this is going to be in book 3 of this series, at the end of the trilogy. And this quote, which is, do not hoard what seems to be good for a later place in a book, for another book. Give it all, give it all, give it now. And to me, it's like, yes, you want to put those amazing ideas at the beginning, put them up front, use them as your hook to draw in your audience, and trust that you are talented enough to continue to tell an amazing story after you use that, that more ideas are going to come, more words are going to come, and you're not going to take the easy path to this one point. You're going to start with the most exciting thing and you're going to build, and it's going to get even more emotionally engaging or exciting or breathtaking, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. If it's horror and you're trying to scare people, start with a scare. Like, you don't have to build into this horrific scene. You can start there and then ask the questions why and really create something that's stronger and more memorable.
It really is about trust, you know, and trusting in yourself as a writer or your inspiration or whatever. There's that point where sometimes writing is digging a ditch, but sometimes it's jumping off a cliff. And yeah, so I know I've had that experience myself where I have this idea and I'm like, oh, I was hoping to save that. Like, nope, put it in. More will come behind it, which is kind of a scary thought, but it's true.
Yeah, I had a writing teacher once who had you write a short story and you turn it in, you do feedback and critiques and all of that stuff. And the second assignment is to write another short story starting at the end of your first short story.
Oh, that's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Did the second story, was the second short story better?
Yes, always.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you've kind of got the backstory, you've kind of got the thing. Oh, I like that very much. I'm going to steal that idea.
So, but you can't do that if you're hoarding all your ideas. Then, you know, so it's like, it's a good evidence that if we put those challenging things, those cool things, the climax right up front, then it leads to better product.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter if you save the idea if no one ever gets to it.
Yeah.
So, you got to use
an original from Mary.
Yes. Write that down, everybody. Unless you're driving, then don't. Well, that's not going to help me with my problem this week, though. So here, let me explain what my problem is. So sometimes I have an action that a character needs to do to, like, fill a slot in the plot. I tend to write kind of in a spiral pattern, kind of circle the drain for my thing. You know, I'll be like, I have 16 different points of view, so I go back and forth between the two. And sometimes I just have this little gap. You know, usually that you've got the justification and then the action, right? Character feels this, and so they do that, and you move forward. But sometimes I have to back up. So, like, I wrote down, like, in a theoretical situation. So you want it to say, like, okay, Lulu's frustrated with her sister's comments about her weight, so she eats a box of donuts out of spite, right? Okay, great. I have motivation, and then I have the action, boom, boom, in that order. But sometimes I don't. Usually this is a secondary character, but, like, sometimes I need them to do a certain thing to support something that the main character is going to do. They just do. You know, I need Hubert to bring a box of donuts and leave them in Lulu's house so that they're there for her to binge on. So I need to figure out how to retcon, you know, how to fill that gap and get you from A to B when I know what B is and I know what A is. How do I fill that in without making it seem forced? It's a tricky one.
Why do you think when it becomes forced, what is it? Is it that it doesn't feel authentic to that character, but you need them to do this thing?
Sometimes. I think that's sometimes my fear, because I think it's more natural to go the other way. You know, it's like petting a cat backwards. You know, I feel like it's better to do, you know, motivation, action, motivation, action. But sometimes I need to do action and then fill in the motivation, and I think I get stuck. Like, I can't think of a reason why someone would do this. You know, why is Hubert going to bring those donuts? Like, I don't know, he's got donuts. What's, you know, I get stuck because it's backwards.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, like, when I run into that situation, I feel like I look at it from two angles. One is, like, do I really need a supporting character to drive that action? Because even though it might be nice for this situation for her to have those donuts in her home at her disposal, even though she's trying to avoid that and avoid mm-hmm. binge eating, it's still really emotionally engaging for me to, it's actually more so engaging for me to see her physically leave and go towards the thing that she doesn't want or that she has said she doesn't want because she's mm-hmm. so upset by the action, right? It's easy to go to your kitchen yep. and get donuts, right? It's a lot
yeah.
harder for me to get in my car and drive to a place and buy a box.
Right, but she needs to be in the house because that's where the murder is going to happen and there's the dragon that's going to swoop in. And if she doesn't have the donuts, then the empty box isn't going to be at her house for later. This is my reality. So yeah, like I'm with you. I want to do it the more active, but it just because of the situation, I need to, and maybe it's just, I need to fudge it there. You know, maybe if it's, I shrink it down to the point where there's just a little fudge, you know, as far as I take it as far as yeah. I can and then fudge it that last little bit, which that sounds like a great idea. I'm not sure what that means in reality, but.
Well, but I don't think you have to explain everything, right? So if, mm-hmm. What's his name? If the neighbor comes over or if whoever brings the donuts, like, is mm-hmm. he the kind of person that would bring baked goods, right? Does he run a bakery? Yeah. Or, like, was it his daughter's birthday? Like, is there a reason? Does he have a crush on it? Like, I don't know what the world mm-hmm. is, but, like, if there's not, a real justification, like, and it's not explained within a simple line, like, oh, so-and-so brought these because of X and that feels authentic, then I'm like, well, just create another character. Like, why does it have yeah. to be him? Why couldn't it be the neighbor? New neighbor moved in yeah. and they brought over treats. They didn't know that she was gluten-free or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, yeah, like for the donuts, it's very possible. I've been known to do this every once in a while is to overthink it, right? Because you're just like, yeah. Oh, hey, I brought donuts. Oh, thanks. It's like, well, I brought donuts because my mother, when she was always on this date, would always bring donuts. And so now I have these donuts that I bought that my sister gave me. Like, you know, maybe I don't need quite that much explanation. Like, just give her the goddamn donuts and get out.
Yeah, like I would probably not bring people donuts.
No, I don't like donuts.
But I don't know, I might buy donuts for a family member if I knew that they liked them, even if they were like, oh, I'm being keto today or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, but I think it depends on like their relationship and who and what kind yeah. of person that is. And it could be totally as much as like, oh, yeah, he yeah, likes donuts. To bring different things, and today you brought donuts.
Yeah, it don't need the whole backstory of this guy's thing. Just bring some damn donuts, and it'll be all right. I always feel like I picture different readers, and one of them is a nitpicky reader, And he's always like, well, why would they do that? That's really stupid. Why would they do that? And he's a useful little voice in my head, right? Because it does make sure I have to justify things. But there's a point where I need to punch him in the face and tell him to shut the hell up. And so that imaginary reader in my head is like, well, why would he bring donuts? What's the reason for that? And so I think I'm afraid I need to explain everything to within an inch of its life. And so maybe if I just take a little leap of faith, go for it. And see what happens. You know, just like leave it and see how bad it is. You know, like, okay, let's just, she just shows up and brings the donuts and I don't explain why. And how bad does that break it?
Yeah. I would say, here's a suggestion. I think this scenario depends on the secondary character bringing the donuts, right? Like, if this is a regular character that we see and know, and again, he never has donuts, so that feels forced. Like, oh, suddenly he has donuts, and he's never been to her home, and he brought donuts to her house. Like, that's where the questions of, like, this feels like it's being forced for the plot comes to play. If it's really just a fleeting side character or, like, a neighbor or friend, like, that it's no big deal, like, then it's easier to do, and I think it's okay to do without a ton of explanation. But, yeah. If he's like an assassin and he doesn't come to her house, they only meet on the streets, like that feels forced.
I see that appeals to my sense of the absurd, is to just be like, you're having this story going on and this woman's worrying about her weight and oh, here's the dough. And all of a sudden this assassin just jumps in from the window and kills her and leaves. Like, wait, what story are we in? That would be wrong. That would be the wrong thing to do. But I like that. And maybe that's a thing to try. Like, one time I gave someone the advice, because I'd done it myself, someone who was feeling blocked and they felt like, oh, I can't write anything. I'm doing so bad. I said, deliberately write the shittiest thing you can. Just lean into it. Lean into the stupidest, the thing you fear you are, just lean into it. Just go. And what'll happen is you will find that you get through that very quickly and you start getting to the good stuff. And it's not as bad as you thought it was. And then you're writing. So maybe I just need to sort of slap it in and then later go back and see, all right, is this justified enough? Or do we have an assassin jumping through the window? And if there's an assassin jumping through the window, is that okay?
It may be that kind of book, you know?
Ironically, the title is Assassin in the Window, but that is referring to something something else. And I apologize to everyone who is listening to this and now who wants donuts.
Donuts.
Sorry. Donuts. I don't like donuts.
I don't either. I like, they always sound better in my head than they actually taste. Yeah.
They look good and you're like, oh, then you're putting your mouth like, oh, no, I'm eating a stick of butter. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the wrong answer.
Sorry. But if you own a donut shop and would like to sponsor this podcast.
Yeah. if you're going to pay me, I will eat your donuts. Yes, absolutely.
I think you just have to focus on the inner critic. I think that critic is helpful in terms of like, am I forcing this? Is somebody going to come back and say, well, that's not logical or that feels too forced, especially when it's coming from one of your main characters or regular characters that we know pretty well. Like that's a moment to take pause. But I feel like if it's a support, like a side character or an extra, like, yeah, we like to say, well, there's no throwaway characters, but there are. You know, there's, like, people who, like, their whole purpose is to open the door at the bottom of the apartment. Like,
yeah,
that's the only glimpse we get of them, and we don't need to build their whole life story or justify all of their actions all of the time.
Yeah, because it'd be, the world is too complicated. If you had to do everyone's backstory, we'd be here all day, which I already kind of do too much anyway, so I think I'd probably have that covered. The hardest part with the inner critic is when to know when to shut them up, because you do need to have a critical eye. You have to look at your work with a critical eye and say, all right, what's good? How does this work? And then we say, write drunk, get it sober. But it's always that difficult relationship between you and your critic of when are you helpful and when are you getting in my way, and to know when that is. The good news is, you can always err on the side of screwing up. Of ignoring your inner critic and doing the wrong thing, err on that side because you can fix that. But if you err on the other side of listening too much to your inner critic and not doing anything, then you're not going to get anywhere. And that's drifted from the point a little bit, but it all ties in.
True with outer critics too.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's the worst part about critique sessions is, you know, sometimes they're so great. And then sometimes it's like, you don't even know what you're talking about. This isn't, you know, to be able to you don't have to look them in the eye and say, you know, go jump in a lake, but to later go back and go, no, you know, I'm not going to do that and see what happens.
I definitely had that experience this past week. And it's been a while since I've had that experience. And I had to say, like, okay, I know what kind of story I'm telling. I understand where your feedback is coming from, but it does not fit within the kind of story that I want to tell. So I'm okay to dismiss that. And I think this is the same thing in terms of like the consistency and the pacing and like the like motivations. You also train your readers and you select your audience. And so you can build an audience that is like gonna be nitpicky and gonna be like, nope, that seems weird. Or like, this is out of context, or you broke this rule that you created 3 books ago. And that's okay. But you can also create an audience that doesn't care about that at all.
Yeah.
It happens, and some of those books and shows are really, really popular. So
you can't be perfect. I think about the movie WALL-E. Mm. I've seen that movie a billion times, and I listened to it a lot because my kids would play it. It was when they were little. We had a little DVD player in the minivan. That's how suburban I am. And they would watch the movie, and I was in the front seat, so I would hear it, but I didn't see it, right? So a million times. And about like the 20th viewing, I realized that there's a huge problem. So I don't know if you remember at the end that they spin the wheel and the ship cants at an angle and then everyone goes sliding down, right? And they have to save, like, get ready to have some kids, and they save everybody because otherwise they're going to fall down like Titanic. Yeah, in space that's not going to happen because that's not how the gravity works. There's no external gravity. The gravity's all inside the ship. So you could spin the thing around. It doesn't matter. In fact, it's probably helping because you're going to have centripetal force. If I were writing, I would be like, oh my God, that would be a nightmare. I can't do this. I have to change this whole ending because that doesn't work. But they fudged it in there because we were at that point, we were so engaged with everything that's going on. I didn't even think of it until I'd seen it, you know, plenty of times. And they'd already gotten my money at that point several times over.
Yep.
So, you know, it's too late. You can fudge some details. You don't have to listen to everybody.
Very true.
You have to listen to some people.
You have to listen to the people who are buying your product.
Right. Or who you want to buy your product.
Yep.
But you don't know who they are. You can't ask them. Sometimes writing is really hard.
I know. That sounds depressing.
Yeah. Let's do a different project podcast. Writing hard. Just give it up. Oh, my God. It's just, you're never going to. So I think for this week, I'm going to focus on trying to just loosen up. Forgive myself a little bit and see if I can come up with some fun ideas.
I think that's a good plan.
All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Remember, writing can be really hard, you guys.
So take it easy.
I've been one of your hosts, Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa Long.
Bye.
Bye, guys.